WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Listen, that's right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia, along with my associate pastor, Pastor Jim, which who we lovingly call PJ, and me with my other name, Mama Mac. I mean, we just have these crazy names, you know?
Yes, we do.
We do. And then Nan. Nan is really Nanner Bananer, but we don't often say that on the air.
I think that's Betty. That's Betty.
She calls you that, Nanner Bananer, or she calls you Nanners. Yes, absolutely. So wherever you're listening to us today, yes, we're a crazy group of people. Pastor Jim, would you tell them what we do on Friday night in Clearwater here?
Have fun.
Have fun. We do have fun. We do have fun.
That is our gathering on Friday nights. It informally starts about 6. We do about a half hour of prayer. We pray prayers out of the... name just went right out.
Prayers of Avail Much.
Prayers that avail much. Thank you, Pastor.
Yeah.
Which are word-based prayers that cover a wide range of topics. We also take prayer requests. We pray for those. And then 6:30, we have some praise and worship. And then we get into the Word till about 8:15-ish. But it's interactive. Bring a notebook.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, bring your Bible. Bring a notebook. Be prepared to ask questions, make comments. Bring your dinner.
Yeah.
If you're coming straight from work, feel free. Bring your dinner. Nan always does. Mm-hmm. I sometimes do. You know, other people do. And because we're just, it's just informal. I mean,
right.
You know, we get together, we pray, we praise, and then we just make a meal out of the Word.
Right. Absolutely. So a meal out of the Word, that's pretty good, isn't it? Okay. So we are studying the Book of Ruth because this series is entitled Finding Favor Forever. Ruth is one who found favor forever, and you can too. Let's kick this second hour off with a great song, Our God. And who does this one? Is this the Chris Tomlin?
Tomlin.
That's what I thought. Here we go. Great song.
Power.
Praise God, our God, our God. Nothing can stand against him, nothing. Oh, praise God. Nan, you got something? Did God give you something there? You seem to be typing away on that computer in there through the glass.
Yes, he did. Yes, I am.
Okay.
It's entitled, I Am Here For You. I will provide what you need from me. I can do it and will give things that you need. I am the Almighty God of the universe. On this word from me, you can believe. I am the mighty one who loves you. The things that you need, I do see. I will move in the situations in my time. There's none other who is like me. My son gave his very life to save you. He arose from the dead 3 days later. I am the one who will help you in all things. Spend time with me as you'll feel me near. So, what is your decision regarding this? Do you want to receive the blessings from me? They are here for you. I will give it all to you. Of your doubt, you will be set free.
Ooh, praise God. Good, good word. Ha. Love it the way God does that through Nan. Just give her a poem as we're talking. It's great. Ooh, Pastor Jim, I tell you what, the greatness of God, and I love that song we just did, Our God, you know, no matter out of the darkness, he brings the light in our lives like he did with Ruth and Naomi and changed their lives, their circumstances, and it applies to us today. Turns our lives upside down.
Oh, absolutely, and for the better.
And for the better, absolutely.
You know, because as we see this story play out, this is the best thing that could have happened. And,
oh.
I mean, truly, Naomi finally got blessed. Ruth got blessed.
Right.
And in the long run, the entire planet got blessed.
Absolutely, and we're going to see why shortly on that. So, back to Ruth chapter 3. We're back down about verse 13 or more when Ruth is laying at Boaz's feet and he wakes up and he asks who she is. And then he says, okay, I get it. Yes, you need to be redeemed. You need to be bought back, if it were, the land and Ruth need to be paid for. They need to be paid for. They need to be bought back. Probably had somebody bought that land, Pastor Jim, while Elimelech left and went to Moab.
Later on, when Boaz talks to the one who's closer, he says, look, she's putting it up for sale.
Oh, okay.
You know, probably because they needed money.
So they still owned it, but...
They still owned it, because land under Jewish law, land remained yours. Even if you sold it, you could, if you didn't redeem it before, it would revert every 50th year back to your family.
Oh, okay. All right.
During the year of Jubilee. But apparently they were getting ready to sell it. And, you know, first bid goes to the redeemers.
Right. The closest relatives.
The closest relatives.
Okay. And so that's what he says. So Ruth makes him aware of this, that the land is getting ready to be sold and that
she goes with it.
She goes with the land because she has made that commitment to her mother-in-law, where you go, I go. You know, so whatever's going to happen here, Ruth needs to be taken care of. And so in verse 14, we see that Ruth sleeps at Boaz's feet till a little before dawn. And he's very careful here with her. Isn't that interesting? So like Jesus being careful about us. Do you want to comment on all that?
Well, you know, he said, stay here, get up early.
He tried to prevent her from being scandalized,
exactly.
Quote unquote.
Well,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, we know how people are.
Right.
Do you know what Ruth did? She spent the night with Boaz and they're not even married.
Right. Exactly.
You know, you could just hear the gossips in
sure
the city.
You could. Yeah.
Going, you know, but yet there was nothing untoward with what happened. She slept at his feet, for heaven's sake.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And, you know, she was laying her claim as to the need to be redeemed.
Absolutely.
And so she humbled herself, slept at his feet, got up before daybreak, and went home. And yet, I love the fact that, you know, Boaz says, wait a minute, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.
Right.
I'm really going to bless you this time.
Oh.
So he gave her six measures of wheat, and we figured
yes.
the word there in Hebrew is ephah, which is about 26 quarts.
So 26 quarts times six.
That's a whole lot of wheat or barley that she was carrying home.
But isn't this, I mean, Boaz is a type of Jesus. So Jesus provides for us. He takes care of us. He not only protects us, but he also provides for our every need. Jehovah, right. I pronounce it Jireh, but you pronounce it
Yahweh Yireh.
Right. In the book of Genesis, where God first proclaims through Abraham that he is Jehovah Jireh,
right.
our provider.
He says, I'm the God who sees the need and provides for it.
Right. Back to when Isaac was laid on the altar and God said, okay, don't kill your son after all. That was in Genesis, I don't know, 13 or something like
22.
That. 22, there you go. And so he says, don't kill your son and I will provide a sacrifice. And that's where he calls himself Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And he's the one God that sees ahead and makes provision for your need. And so here he is, Boaz is a type of God, Jesus, and he is saying, here, Ruth, go home to Naomi, but go with your arms full of all of this bounty. Oh, that will preach.
Mm-hmm.
Woo, that will preach.
And it's just amazing, too. I mean, when you think of the symbolism, what we said about Boaz being a type of Jesus,
yes.
Ruth being a type of the church, Naomi being a type of the Jews, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.
Right.
And I really think that Jesus is saying that to us. Don't go back to Israel empty-handed.
Right.
Don't forget his brothers, the Jews.
Right.
Don't go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Because after all, you know, even the law was our tutor.
Right.
Until we came to know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know that's kind of where we're going to head with this. But the law was our tutor. Everything in the old covenant was meant to bring us to Jesus.
All meant to bring us to mm-hmm. Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 1. You can find it if you have your Bible with you. And if not, that's okay. We'll read it to you. But I love John 1, where John actually describes this about the law. And what verse? I'm in the Message Bible here, so it's not as easy for me to find exactly what I want. Is it John?
John 1:14.
1:14. That
the word became flesh
and dwelt among us. Yes. And we beheld his glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace and truth. The verse that I'm thinking about, though, is the law was given through Moses. Yes, verse 17. John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So all that old way of doing it, the law that bogs us down, and we can never, ever measure up to the law. And we'll talk more about that next week and the significance of that. But grace and truth are realized through Jesus, and Boaz is a type of Jesus. So what Boaz is doing is giving her grace. I mean, just all this favor. You know, all this favor. Look at you, Ruth, here. You know, I don't want you to go home to your mother-in-law empty-handed. I want you to go with ample provision. Mm-hmm. You know, grace. I want you to have everything I can give you. Talk to me about that.
Well, it's... I'm surprised she could carry it, actually. I mean, you know, that's a whole lot of grain. But yeah, God doesn't bless us a little bit. Because think of what we have, all the blessings that we have in Christ. I mean, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you know, Paul's talking about, you know, all the promises.
Right.
In him, in Jesus, are yes, and we add the amen.
Mm-hmm.
So every promise made by God is yes in Jesus, and we can add the amen, the it is so. And that's a pretty
amen.
Miraculous thing. So it's not just a little bit of a blessing. It is here, like a blessing overflowing.
Overflowing, yeah.
The verse in Luke chapter 6, pressed down, shaken together.
Running over.
Running out all over.
But you know? That's how God's favor is. And we tend to think it's a measure. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 27, I think, is where Boaz gives Ruth a measure. Isn't that right? In Ruth 1:27, can you see that?
I have to get back to Ruth.
Oh, you're not in Ruth. Okay.
I'm sorry. I was in John.
Not a problem. But I think it's Ruth 127 where she is given. Nope, there's not 27 verses in Ruth 1, so it's not
it's
that.
It's in chapter 2. It says she gleaned a bushel.
Okay,
there
you go.
Or gleaned a measure.
Okay, what verse is that? Okay, anyway, we'll find it. But
oh, here it is. Verse 217.
I'm close. Okay. In 217, we see that she is given a measure, one measure, 217. And that is just kind of a deposit, if you will. You know, when I'm a realtor and have been for 24 years, and when people buy a house and they put a contract on a house, they have to put a deposit on it. Okay, and generally the deposit, this is interesting, is usually about 1% of the purchase price of the house. That's just kind of a standard thing. Now, it doesn't have to be that. It can be more, it can be less. But it's just kind of a rough number, okay? So here in Ruth 2:17, she is given one measure, okay? But it was almost like a deposit of the rest of it. You know, and that's what happens when you buy a house. You put a deposit on it. That money is held in an escrow account until the day you close. And at the day you close, you have to come up with the rest of it, whether by a loan or cash.
Something, yeah.
It's a deposit on all of it coming, right? On the fullness.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, I just thought of that right now. But boy, that does apply.
That does apply. And I just add a footnote here at this verse that an ephah is 3/5 of a bushel.
Okay.
So if she had 6 bushels, that would be 18/5 of a bushel.
So we got to do our
3 3/5 of a bushel. So
okay.
I mean, she was carrying almost 4 bushels.
3 3/5, 3 3/5. Oh my! The numbers in the word.
Like
oh
that.
Yeah. Oh,
I knew she'd
that's
like that.
So good. That'll preach too. Oh, 3 is representative of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. 5 is God's grace, and so boy, that will preach. So she in Ruth 2:17, she's given one measure or the deposit on the whole. And, you know, a lot of times we walk around with just a deposit and we never get the fullness. We get the one measure and we just never want more. We don't want all. Nan, I want you to comment on this too. I want you to jump in here because so often we get stagnant with where we've been. We have been in maybe a church setting where they really did not teach or propel you into the fullness of God, where they didn't teach about the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of God, where they just, that you know, sermon after sermon, people are just, it's always about salvation. Salvation is the deposit. Salvation is the beginning. It's not the end. It's the beginning of all of it. Woo, you want to comment on that, Nan? I got a little carried away there. Whoa, wait a minute. Let me turn you back on. I was listening. I had to turn you off because your computer.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry. I'm just
that's
typing.
Okay. No, it's okay.
People, you know, I'm writing a book, and one of the chapters is about faith, and one of the chapters in it is about, yes, you're worthy. And we're worthy because of whose we are, not because of what we've done or
right.
Who we are, but
yeah.
Because of whose we are.
Ooh, yeah.
And people so many times live beneath, you know, only taking that deposit.
Yes.
And they don't realize there's more.
Yeah.
Or they don't understand the more, so they don't try to get the more. But it's there. It's available to all of us.
Ooh.
I mean, God is no respecter of persons, as his word tells us. And it's available. They just need to go for it and get it. It's there.
We're going to ask PJ his comment on that whole thing in just a minute after we do this song, Not for a Moment. And who does this?
Meredith Andrews.
Ooh, here we go.
Not for a moment.
for a moment. Will you forsake me, mighty God? Not for a moment. Not for one moment will you let go of me. You're always holding on to me, and I'm protected under your arms of protection. Praise God. Not for a moment. Praise God. Great song. Love that. Nan, you got something that God has given you?
I do. It's entitled, I Am Always Here. I am always with you, precious child. I will never forsake you. Please believe. You may not see my hand at work sometimes, but of the blessings you can receive. Look to me. I am always with you. I am the rock upon which you can stand. Look to me. Trust. Believe. Receive. Listen to me as I speak. Take my hand. I am always here with you, little one. I will never forsake you. No, never at all. I am with you. I am upholding you. Look to me and unto my name simply call. And I did want to say it's kind of interesting. The first verse and the third verse are very similar.
Read them again. Read those again.
First one is, I am always with you, precious child. I will never leave you. Please believe. You may not see my hand at work sometimes, but of the blessings you can receive. And the third one is, I am always with you, little one. I will never forsake you. No, never at all. I am with you. I am upholding you. Look to me and upon my name simply call.
Thank you for being a vessel for God to speak through you in this form of poems. Oh, Pastor Jim, it's so true. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us, not for a moment, not for one single moment. And he doesn't forsake Ruth at all, does he? And Naomi in their journey and in their struggles. God has never let them go. He does not let go of them, just like he doesn't let go of us.
Right. And here, I think it's interesting to note, he tells Naomi or tells Ruth, here, I'm giving you this, what did we say, three, almost four bushels of grain to take back to, you know, to take back to your mother-in-law so you don't go back to her empty-handed. That was a whole lot of grain.
Very generous.
Very, and he told her to share.
Yeah.
He said, don't keep this blessing to yourself.
Right.
But give.
Right.
Give it. And
boy,
I think
that, oh,
that'll preach.
That'll preach, yeah.
You know, sometimes we think, well,
yeah,
I'm going to get a hold of this blessing, that blessing, or the anointing, or whatever. And we just want to keep it to ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's right here. That just flies in the face mm-hmm. of what God's intention was. He doesn't bless us so we can hold it in, so we can
right.
keep it to ourselves. It's so we can give it out. We
Absolutely.
Can give it back. And, you know, I was just reading in Deuteronomy about tithing, and there's this whole wonderful sections, and I think every Christian should read those, because every third year the tithe, your first fruits, what you got out of your field, didn't go to the church per se. I mean, it went to the Levites. Part of it went to the Levites, the ministers at that time, but the other part was to be set aside to be given to the widows, the father, the orphans,
people that needed
the foreigners,
it. Yes,
the poor,
right?
You know, that tithe, part of that was to be given,
right,
for the people who needed it the most.
Exactly.
And that really struck me, in that, you know, sometimes we get blessed but we get greedy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I won't mention any names, but I'm not so sure we need to be flying around in brand new jets, you know, ministers of the gospel.
Right.
You know, I've heard that, well, you know, the donkey was the jet of, you know, the Roman age. No, that would have been the horse and chariot. And Jesus didn't run around in one of those.
Right.
He rode on a donkey or he walked.
Right.
And I'm sorry, if it's good enough for Jesus, good enough for me.
So you would say that Rolls Royces and things like that, extravagant that ministers do, and a lot
right.
of people could really agree with you on this, me one
if
of them,
God,
it's not right.
Yeah,
it's not
if
right.
God blesses you with that,
yeah,
praise God, but don't go looking for it.
Right.
I mean, you know, I know of a couple ministers who God just blessed them with
mm-hmm,
cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here, God told me to give
yeah,
you this.
Yeah, he does.
And that's wonderful.
Yeah.
But then you give away the old one to somebody who needs it.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
or I think was it Jerry Savelle kept giving away all his clothes.
Right. I remember that story.
People in need.
I remember Jerry Savelle. I wonder if he's still alive. I haven't heard anything from him in a long time.
I don't know.
But he did do that a lot, and he just was blessed repeatedly.
Right. He couldn't give it away
exactly.
fast enough.
We can't outgive God, right. Pastor Jim. And people out there, we don't talk about finances on the air much at all on this show. Hardly ever, but we welcome you to become a partner with us financially. Give if this is your church, give your tithes and offerings, and we have a wonderful way you can do that through PayPal on our website, bohmglobal.com. At the bottom of page one, there's donations. Hit that, it'll open up PayPal. It's safe, secure, and some people do that and support this radio ministry. But God has never let us down, PJ and Nan. You guys are my witnesses. I've been doing this 9 years. You both have been doing it at least 5 or 6 on the air with us, and or more, probably 7. But here we – has God not provided every single week? We pay as we go. We put the money in the box here in the radio station before we come in and sign on. And because God has provided it for us to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's a blessing to give plant. I love planting my tithes and offerings into this ministry because it's going out to so many, many thousands and millions of people.
Exactly. And that's, I mean, the whole principle is you don't get it to hold on to it.
Right.
You get it to give it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Boaz was doing. And,
yes.
And again,
right here.
As that type of Jesus, this he was showing us.
Yes.
Okay, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Give this to her.
Right.
You know, I want you to share.
Yeah.
And we see that principle all throughout Scripture about given it shall be given unto you.
Yes.
Okay?
In fact, I'm going there. That's Luke 6:38. And I think, because you brought it up twice here, it's very important that people see this concept. So Boaz is a type of Jesus, gives to Ruth, and he says, Ruth, don't just hoard this for yourself. Don't be a hoarder, but give it out. And it is Luke 6:38, isn't it? I believe it is. Yep.
Yep.
It is. You want to read that? In fact, why don't you start at verse 37?
Okay. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will it be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because, you know, you get based on you receive based on a percentage of what you give.
Right.
And, you know, that's what Jesus is saying here. As you give, it'll be given back.
These are the words of Jesus in Luke 6,
the same measure.
38.
I love that. And I love that he starts out with that, you know, don't judge, don't condemn, forgive, and then give.
Because I think he starts out with the judge, don't judge thing, Pastor Jim, is because a lot of people rationalize their lack of giving because they're judging some aspect mm-hmm. of a minister's life or whatever. And God will direct you to where your funds need to go. But I think it's interesting that Jesus starts there with don't be judging. Instead, give,
right.
You know.
And the promise is give and it'll be given back.
Right.
I think some people are so afraid. And, you know, the tithe is kind of arbitrary. I mean, that's just kind of a scriptural standard. But it doesn't have to be a tithe. You know, Paul says give what you want.
Yeah.
For me, the tithe is a very comfortable thing.
Yeah. 10%.
That's pretty easy to figure.
Yeah.
But Paul says, give what you determine to give. But the whole point is give.
Give.
Determine to give something and then give it.
Right. Follow through.
Because there's such a blessing. And here
mm-hmm.
we see.
Mm-hmm.
Here we see what it is. And, you know, I was, I've been a minister for a long time and I've been in church even longer. And I've seen people's faces when that offering plate comes around,
mm-hmm.
it's like they're struggling to put that check or
right.
drop that money.
Like
in there.
It's really awful.
And
I know.
And yet, and like I said, I just read these verses in Deuteronomy. What does God say? Rejoice. You know
right.
what you get to do with your tithe? You get to rejoice in front of me. You get to thank me for it.
be a cheerful giver, he says in the New Testament. Jesus says, give hilariously.
Yeah, be a hilarious giver.
Yeah, hilarious. And that is rejoicing that you have. I mean, God blesses us with the jobs we have, with the income that we have. You and Nan and I are all employed other than the ministry. In fact, the ministry really is not our occupation, although it's our main occupation. It's not where our paychecks are coming from. And I'm a realtor 24 years. Nan is secretary to high school and does a great job. You, Pastor Jim, are a social worker, and you have another job description. What is that?
Medical case manager.
Okay, there you go. And so we all are out there in the workplace, and we bring our tithes and our offerings into the storehouse, like we're told in Malachi chapter 3, 8 to 11. Bring your tithe and your offerings into the storehouse, and watch what God... This is one of those things where God says, you do this, I'll do this. Yeah. You know, test me in this, he says.
Yeah, and it's the one time.
Yeah.
It's the one time we're told we can test God.
Yeah.
Is if we give...
Woo!
He says...
We're off on a tangent, but it's a good tangent, isn't it?
Test me in this. See if I don't bless you. I'll bless you. You won't even be able to contain it, he says. And again, it's like people struggle with that.
Right.
I can only speak from my own experience. Yes, there have been tough times.
Sure.
But when I've been obedient.
Right.
God blesses that. And, you know, everything's been met.
God has a way of doing that. Nan, I want you to comment on this because she's like chomping at the bit in there by the microphone. Can't wait to say something.
I was always raised that you pay tithes. Mm-hmm. I paid tithes when I wasn't even trying to serve God.
I think that's interesting you use the term pay tithes.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay.
Because you're saying you realize it's a bill you have to pay,
She thought you were going to chew her out.
No. It's good. It's good. It's like a responsibility. Like I have to pay my car payment.
Right.
I have to pay my rent. I have to pay this. I have to pay that. We pay tithes, right?
We do.
Yeah.
And I would pay my tithes when I wasn't serving God.
Right.
Wasn't trying to serve God. And it wasn't buying God. But I was thankful to him that he provided for me a job.
Right.
I had a good job. Things were going well with that job. And just out of thankfulness, I would send my tithes check with my parents to their church. Just because he will bless you and he will honor you.
He does.
And bless you, when you do that. And then I had someone who was actually handling my finances here for quite some time, and you can't afford to pay tithes. So once I took my finances back over, one of the first things I started doing was paying tithes. And God has always blessed, and he has honored that.
Yes.
He has honored that, yes. And it's I get excited when I can put a check in the thing, not for anybody to see, but just I know that I'm being obedient. And I know that he rewards obedience.
Pastor Jim can't wait to talk now.
The treasurer gets excited,
too. He's the treasurer of the ministry also.
But I want to make one comment, because Nan touched on it. You can tithe till you're blue in the face, but if you don't mix it with faith.
Right.
If you don't, if you don't believe, if you're doing it, James says, you don't have because you don't ask, or you do ask, but you're asking with the wrong motives. If I'm tithing only to get.
Right.
Okay, God, do this. I need the, I just want the money. If you're being greedy about it.
It's your attitude.
He's not going to honor it.
Right.
But if you do it in faith, believing, and that's why I'm really careful, when I pray over the offering.
Right.
Is just to remind everybody, we're not hoarding this.
Right.
We've never had a really big bank account because we're giving back out.
That's an understatement, PJ.
We're giving back out.
That's right. We are.
And that's important.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
One thing I want to say, that is something that I've never heard any pastors say this except you, is like, if you feel you can't give the 10%, at least do something.
Start someplace.
A set amount, a dollar amount each week.
Be consistent.
And be consistent. And
yes.
That's what I did. I didn't start at 10%.
Right.
But I got up to 10%.
God honors that. It's the consistency and the faithfulness. And that goes back to Ruth chapter 1. When Ruth was consistent and she was faithful, God honors that, my dear friends. He honors that. And we're going to talk more about these six measures in just a minute. But we are going to go to this song by Big Daddy Weave. I don't know where that name came from. Do you?
His real name is Mike Weaver. So
okay.
Just kind of.
Big Daddy Weave.
Big Daddy Weave.
Redeemed. It goes right along with our talk today.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures. Wondering how long is this gonna last? Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight, it's already been won. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy. Named by the voice of my shame and regret. When I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. 'Cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who
praise God, I'm redeemed. I love that song. Woo, I love that song. Shake off those old chains, dear ones. Everything that's dragging you down. Nan, what did God give you during that song?
He said, child, you are redeemed by my hand. You can make it. You will certainly stand. You are redeemed by my son's life. You can make it through any of your strife. You can have all that is available to you. Remember that you are redeemed through and through. Let the past be in the past. Leave it there. You can do this through your prayers. I see you with the covering of my son. Your life was bought. It was done. Don't stay in the past, but move forward. Pray to me, believe, and read my word. You are the redeemed, O precious one. All this is made available because of my son.
Oh, that's beautiful. If you want copies of any of these poems, Nan calls them poems, but if you want any copies of the poems, just write me an email, pastor@bohmglobal.com, and I'll make sure Nan sends them to you. That was absolutely beautiful and right on. Pastor Jim, this is good stuff. This is a wonderful turn, the way this took today in this show, because it's not okay to stay with one measure when God has seven total for us.
Right.
And six more, and we need to get out of ourselves and get everything he has for us.
Exactly. And that's what Ruth did. I mean, she started out gleaning.
Yeah.
And notice, gleaning was hard work. And that was that first bushel. She worked for that first bushel.
Boy.
And sometimes, you know, it is hard to start that walk.
Right.
But God says, you know what, there's so much more. And it gets easier.
Yeah.
Because remember these last six, just
it was just given to her.
Just a gift. And,
woo!
You know.
Yeah.
But again, it takes commitment.
Yes, it does.
Because this whole time, you know, Ruth showed her faithfulness.
Yes, she did.
Not only to, I mean, she showed her faithfulness to Naomi, which is what Boaz looked at. I mean,
right.
He picked up on that. He said, look, you've been really faithful. And then, you know, she's faithful to him because she chose him.
Right.
And, you know, Jesus, I think through this, Jesus is saying, walk in faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
Stay consistent.
Right. Stay consistent. Stay faithful. There's so many things that try and get us to turn our hearts away from him.
Oh, my.
I mean, we all know we're faced with those things every day.
Every day.
And yet, we always have the choice. And yeah, sometimes we mess up, and that's why we need the redemption. And praise God, it's not just a one-time thing. That redemption is always, I mean, it's always
absolutely
there waiting for us just to accept it.
You know, I was just thinking about that, the consistency. We are coming up on our 14th anniversary of Beacon of Hope in October, and we will have put in 14 years already, 9 years on the air. And it's consistency and faithfulness. I mean, and I'm not saying this to toot my horn, please. It's because we believe in that God has called us to this. Have there been opportunities to quit? You better believe it. There's been tons of opportunities to just walk away. Yeah.
1 year ago today,
yeah,
we had that opportunity.
Right.
One year ago this weekend.
Right. And look what God has done. Look what God has done. We have refused to give up and to continue on in the work that God has called us to do, regardless of lean times, regardless of times when people got upset and left over petty things or whatever the case may be. God has called us to do what we've done and what we're consistently doing, like Ruth, faithfully, consistently. And that's good soil to plant our finances in, because we are consistently giving out the word of God continually. And I have no regrets over these last 14 years, no regrets.
And it's that being faithful and being consistent and staying true to the vision.
Right. Regardless of the hard times. That doesn't mean I couldn't have done things differently, maybe better in certain circumstances. I admit that. I'm human, just like all of us are. But as far as what I meant by no regrets, I am so glad we have stayed the course. Our forehead is set like flint, like it says in Isaiah 50, like Jesus quoted. And I'm going to Jerusalem, and we're going to fulfill everything that God has called this ministry to fulfill. As long as I have breath in myself, we're moving forward into everything that God has for all that he's planned for us.
Right, and I was thinking of the parable of the sower and the seed. The second soil was rocky. It had no real depth. And Jesus said when trials, persecutions arose,
right,
because of the word, he was very specific. They shriveled. Those plants shriveled because they had no root.
Right.
And I think it's important that, you know, a lot of the opposition that we, not just Beacon, but churches, Bible-believing churches that want to be with God get, is because we stand on the word.
Yes.
And
our slogan is, where the word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. That's our slogan. That's on your shirts. Both of you wearing the same shirt today, which is so cute.
How about that?
Those of you watching on the video can see that. Go ahead.
Well, it's just interesting that, you know, you have to have those roots.
Yes.
Because, you know, you take a stand for the word, and people are going to, especially in this day and age, people are going to ridicule you. People are going to make fun of you.
Right.
People are actually, they will persecute you. And if you have that root in yourself, you're good soil. You're still going to bring forth fruit.
Amen.
No matter the persecution.
No matter. And so here Ruth is given one measure, kind of a first fruits, kind of a escrow deposit on the whole house, you know.
First fruits?
First fruits. There you go.
Feast of Tabernacles.
There
that
you go.
That six was the feast, because Tabernacles is the seventh feast.
Right. So then there comes six more here, the Boaz type of Jesus so generously gives her. And so now she has the ability to walk in fullness, not just measure.
Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that then she goes back.
Mm-hmm.
She drags these six.
She's got her hands full.
She's got her hands full. And, you know,
love it.
Boaz says, look, I'll take care of this. I'll go talk to that other guy.
Yeah.
And again, another change in Naomi is Ruth comes back, says everything that happened. You know, there's this other guy, but Boaz says he's going to go talk to him.
Right.
And I just love, Naomi says, okay, I know he's going to take care of this. I know he's not going to rest until he gets this matter settled.
Right.
Now, that's a huge turnaround for her.
Oh, Naomi's attitude adjustment in Ruth 2:20 is you're seeing it right here. And she's carrying it on.
You're seeing the fruits of it right here, because she says, I know.
Right.
I believe he's not going to let this matter drop.
Ooh, I know my Redeemer lives.
Amen.
Amen, amen. And he is our Redeemer. And boy, I tell you, we could go on, and we will be going on next week with this series, Finding Favor Forever. And there's just so much. We're about to wrap it up here soon. But I tell you what a blessing to realize how Jesus really feels about us.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to operate in fullness, not just a measure of what we could have. If you are one of those people out there that just, you have fire insurance, maybe. You know Jesus as your Lord and Savior because you want to go to heaven and not hell, but you don't know anything more than that. It's time to get in the Word, dear one. Go to the book of John and start reading it. Go to the book of Psalms and start poring over it and start reading your Bible. I teach out of the Message Bible because it's a modern-day translation and easy to understand. But NIV is great. There's so many great Bibles out there, translations that are easy now in this day and age to understand. And the Message, the Living Bible, there's so many. Life Application Bible, just go to the bookstores and you'll find a Bible that you can get a hold of and read and understand. This ministry, Beacon of Hope Ministries, is all about the Word of God. I said our slogan, I'm going to say it again, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. There's so many hurting lives out there. We care about you. We want to help you. You can contact me personally and Pastor Jim personally. We make ourselves available to you. We've been hearing from more and more people that we don't know who you are, but God knows who you are. So please contact us. For me, pastor@bohmglobal.com. Pastor Jim is pastorjim@bohmglobal.com. Our prayer line is prayers@bohmglobal.com. You see a trend there going, developing?
Yeah, quite the trend.
Kind of. And our website is bohmglobal.com. There you go. So it's all there. And we welcome you to join our show on Thursday night, the Life Coaching and Counseling Show. It's not necessarily a show about God, but boy, his principles certainly come in. And you can call in and you can text in with your questions and get involved in that hour-long show, 55 minutes, really. Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. on this radio station and on Starcom Media Network, three or four times every week. Both this show and Go Yard are being played. So it's getting out there. I'm talking to more people about syndication, more and more syndication. for these shows, because our goal is to plant the Word of God everywhere we can. We believe in fullness, not just measure. Pastor Jim, you want to sum things up here for?
I think you just did. That was really good. We believe in fullness, not just measure. And especially now, it's so important that we walk in everything God has. And I know that's not easy.
It's not.
It's not. I mean, you got the world trying to drag you down. The evil one trying to drag you down. But I know I've been saved well over 40 years, and I speak from experience that, you know, the times my life goes the smoothest, especially smoothest on the inside, where I've got that peace that passes understanding, is when I'm walking in the fullness.
Absolutely.
Not just walking in a little bit of what God has for me, but as much as I can get hold of what God has for me.
One measure plus six measures is seven measures. Seven is the number for perfection and fullness in the Word of God. How many days in the week are there? Seven. How many? Two loaves? It's two fish. Two fish, five loaves of bread equaled seven. So many parallels in the Word of God. Seven is God's number of perfection. Nan, do you have anything to share before we get out of here? Nope. Okay. That's fine. Okay, I just wanted to give you an opportunity. I heard you banging away on your computer, but you must be doing something else. All right, that's okay. A final comment, Pastor Jim, before we get here to our ending.
I do want to encourage everyone, like you had before, don't be afraid to walk in the fullness.
Mm-hmm.
It's an adventure. And yeah, it can be scary to get out of your comfort zone, you know, and walk where God wants you to walk, and walk in the power that He wants you to walk in.
Right.
Walk under the anointing. Minister the way He wants you to minister. That can be uncomfortable. But, like we said before, as you give, and as you know, we talk about the principle of giving, as you give your life, He'll return that life to you.
Yes.
A hundredfold.
Woo. Yes. And that is scriptural. Get that in the book of Matthew, and you can go in there, and those parables, it's right there. So we want everything God has for us. We want fullness. We want it all, Lord. Lord, we pray for our listeners right now, wherever they might be across this globe. We ask that this word from you today would permeate their lives, that would sink down within them, and that they would make a conscious decision to have fullness, everything you have for them, Lord, not just a little bit, not just measure, but everything you have for them, Lord. We just lift them up to you, and we just thank you for our listeners. Bless every single one of them. It's been a great time, Pastor Jim, Nan, as always, such a great time in the Word. You know, it's not far to Jesus. See you next week, gang. This has been Pastor Marcia, Pastor Jim, and Nan bringing you the Word of God today from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Website is bohmglobal.com. Check it out and listen to some of the old shows. God bless you. See you next week. It's not far from here to Jesus. His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and He will lead you safely to His side. There's no need for It's not far.